Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sycamo of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We are rolling on with our redraft of the 2015 class. Yesterday, we kept Jameis Winston to the Bucs. We kept Marcus Mariota to the Titans. We went with Marcus Peters to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was Trevor's doing. He envisions pairing Peters and Ramsey for the all-chirp team on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dina Hunter to the Raiders at number four. Brandon Scherff stayed with Washington as well. The Jets took Vic Beasley in the redraft. The Bears took Ali Marpet. The Falcons took Grady Jarrett just a couple rounds earlier than they actually did. The Giants took David Johnson. Whew, oh, that offense. The Rams took Todd Gurley. We stayed with four picks. We only stayed with three in the entire 2014 first-round redraft. We're in the top 10, and we already have more than that in four picks. And I think part of it, Trev, is that this just wasn't a great draft class. Like, there were a lot of first-round misses, and when you look through the later rounds, a lot of the hits were, like, you know, good run stuffing, defensive tackles, adequate corners that are, part of a top three, starting tackles, but not really, like, stars. And it was weak at quarterback, and it was pretty weak at offensive line. So I think that's prompted us to say there's not as many different directions to go in apart from how this class actually went in some cases, and that was kind of the issue yesterday, I think.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of talent kind of like at the top, but it just kind of, it was not a draft class. I mean, I feel like I can say that every year, but just where guys were picked, how people were prioritized, a lot different. You've got guys like Grady Jarrett and Stephon Diggs who hasn't been picked yet, and even Quan Alexander, Ali Marpet, these guys who are going to go in this first round for us, but we're obviously not scouted to where their talent kind of showed out. And so today we're starting with Minnesota. We got the Minnesota Vikings, and they took Trey Waynes.
Yes. And again, this Waynes pick to me speaks to this draft was very talented, but I don't think the development fully happened or hasn't yet for a lot of these guys. I mean, some of the guys we talked about, like Kevin White, were just injured, but like Vic Beasley hasn't fully developed. And, Eric Flowers and heck, half the offensive line class and, hasn't really developed fully, I think. I mean, if you look at guys like DJ Humphreys, it hasn't really happened for, TJ Clemmings, it hasn't happened for, Cedric Ogbuehi. There's just been so many names in this class that there was definitely talent there. There was athleticism, there was size, there was length, there was the baseline stuff that you look for, but a lot of development didn't happen at key positions.
Yeah, and underdeveloped, I think underdeveloped is still a word for the trade. I mean, I don't know if that speaks to the ceiling of this draft or why, because, I mean, Vic Beasley led the league in sacks last year, right? Sure. Not like last year, but the year before, and we're still calling him underdeveloped. Mm-hmm. Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota have played fine to most other quarterback standards, and yet we're still sitting here thinking, oh man, they could be better. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that just speaks to the ceiling of this draft class, right, more than anything else. But Vikings on the clock. Vikings took Trey Waynes. And I mean, looking at their depth chart, I mean, they could have used him.
Yeah.
Terrence Newman, Josh Robinson, they're good dudes right now. Their backup guy's Captain Munnerlyn. So
they just took the wrong corner, right? Peters
was
on the board.
In that draft, they certainly took the wrong corner. Marcus Peters was still on the board at the time, and they could have taken Marcus Peters. You look at wide receiver, Stephon Diggs is in this draft. He's still available. Mm-hmm. Right now they have Charles Johnson, Mike Wallace, Jarius Wright, Cordarrelle Patterson, Adam Thielen, obviously still here. We talked about that last week when we were going through the other draft. I feel like every time we're going to talk about the Vikings, we're like, well, they do have Adam Thielen.
Right.
He's just 3 years away.
They just don't realize what they have yet.
Right. So, I mean, they could go Diggs, but I just don't think – I don't think that they would go Diggs here at number 11 in this case. Instead, I kind of look at their running backs. I see Matt Asiata's there, Jerick McKinnon's there, Dwayne Harris. I'm going to give him Melvin Gordon. I think that Melvin Gordon's a dude who you could play on all three downs.
Wow, I didn't think you'd give him Melvin Gordon over Tevin Coleman, just knowing you love Tevin Coleman.
I love Tevin Coleman. I just didn't – like, I don't think that Tevin Coleman would go this high. Mm-hmm. So I think Melvin Gordon's obviously been a full-time running back for the last three seasons, both as a with the ball in his hands and like in the passing game. And so I think he'd be much more of the complete back that would kind of realistically go here. I think Tevin Coleman's upside is huge, but let's face it, he's never been on one. He's never been the bell cow back. And two, he's never been on an offense that wasn't already hella explosive with all kinds of talent like the Falcons is. And so I think Tevin Coleman could be a really good running back, and I'll probably end up picking him in the first round here. I just think it would make more sense probably for the Vikings to take a guy like Melvin Gordon.
I know we're going to get to like the full team draft classes and looking at our top drafting teams on Thursday, but the Vikings, with Trey Waynes becoming like a solid starter, you know, that pick doesn't look as bad in the first round. That was the one everybody said they missed on, and we'll see how he continues to develop. Big year for him, obviously, coming up. But Eric Kendricks, Danell Hunter, and Stephon Diggs in this class. Those are three of the top 16 players, probably 16 or 17 players in this class, and they drafted all of them, and none of them in the first round. They got Kendricks in the second. They got Hunter in the third, a number 88 overall, and they got Diggs at 146.
If you very 2017 New Orleans Saints is.
Yeah, it was, and they've just kind of had just phenomenal drafts under Spielman for the most part. I mean, the whole defense is the best defense in the NFL, and it's almost every single guy's drafted except for Linval. So it's just crazy how they've been able to acquire talent. The Browns took Danny Shelton. By the way, I gave the Trey Waynes pick a C, right? Has the potential to move up to a B if he keeps playing how he played last year.
Yeah, it's fine.
You know, I give the Danny Shelton pick. I think Shelton has been what you hoped he would be, a very, very good run stuffer that doesn't give you much of anything as a pass rusher or behind the line of scrimmage type of player. You know, so I don't think it's Shelton's fault, but I would say this pick's been pretty average for them. They moved on from him, obviously. New England snapped him up. He'll start there. C, B, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't make an impact behind the line of scrimmage. It's hard to justify it from the Browns' perspective. I don't think it's the Danny Shelton.
I mean, taking him at 12, it's a C.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
I just scripted what might be Vita Vea for the Buccaneers. So,
very true. Very true. Yeah, we could look back on that. But Vea has more pass rush potential.
There's no doubt with Vea that he has to become somewhat of a pass rusher. It's obviously not worth 12 overall. Right. You know,
no question. Yep. So to me, when I relook at the Browns and where they were at, I mean, still, again, we talked about it a lot. We gave them Zach Martin in the redraft of 2014. They end up with Joe Thomas, Joel Bitonio, Alex Mack still here. Mitchell Schwartz is still here. John Greco is a solid right guard there. You know, so I feel like the offensive line's good. Obviously, quarterback we'd love to address, but the reality is that there just aren't any left in this class that are worth taking anywhere at all, probably. You know, Isaiah Crowell is in the backfield, but we've already taken three running backs. I've always said they should upgrade on Crowell, but at this point, I'm not sure that it's the right move for what we have on the board. Edge pass rusher is definitely a major concern. Desmond Bryant, Paul Kruger, Armani Bryant, John Hughes. These are the guys they have coming off the edge right now. It's a rough group. It's probably the weakest spot on the roster. I look at the edge guys that are left, and I am really kind of torn. I just think Frank Clark is just an awful person, and I don't want to redraft him. But from a talent perspective,
very good call. I would fully support us not drafting Frank Clark.
All right, we're taking Frank Clark off the board. Trey Flowers to me is a very good player. Is he worth it here? You know, Dante Fowler, I want to see it for another year. Marcus Golden's been productive, but doesn't have the traits that I would probably take a risk on here. Missed all last season with an injury. I'd like to see if he can get back to what he once was.
Do you think David Irving can play edge? Because he's in his pool. That's why.
Oh, David Irving. Not full time. I would probably not put him there full time. No, I would put him on the inside. But he could be an option. I mean, but again, we got off the field issues that are, you know, troubling to take this high. I think he really hasn't put it all together yet in the NFL, so I would be a little bit scared with this pick. Leonard Williams would be a terrific pick, I think. You know, I'm torn kind of between Leonard Williams and Stephon Diggs for Cleveland, but I think, you know, given the edge rushing talent we know that's going to eventually come to Cleveland, the fact that this weak group here ends up being okay for them because they're going to nab some players in later drafts. And I think having an interior guy, if you look at their team right now, it's, you know, Larry Ogunjobi is going to have to be the guy for them. They just don't have a lot outside of that, even in terms of depth. So I'm going to give him Leonard Williams. Again, I think Williams is probably just went a little bit too high for what his value should be, but he's been an excellent player in the NFL, and I think he'd continue to do that in Cleveland. I think he's a guy they'd love to have right now as their current roster stands.
Where's the tab of the New Orleans depth chart?
Pete has been pretty decent for New Orleans, but not at tackle, which is what they drafted right. him to be.
Like, it kind of took him a while to get there, though, right?
Yeah. I think after his play last year, I might bump this to a B because he's really come along pretty nicely at guard, but there are definitely some pass protection issues. I would give this like a B minus. We'll throw a B on it. We'll be nice. We're feeling nice today.
Are we? Okay.
I mean,
okay.
No.
So the Saints roster, obviously the defense looks a lot different back in 2015, more so just because that 2017 draft hadn't happened yet. Marquise Colston, Brandon Cooks, still the guy's a wide receiver, neither of them there. So, in hindsight, you'd want to prepare him for both of those guys not being there anymore, but it's not like with them on the roster, you're really preparing for that. Bree's still there, obviously. Mark Ingram's still the number one back. CJ Spiller was actually trying to play that Alvin Kamara role.
Yeah.
The defense is, they have this is the year that they got Jairus Byrd. They have Kenny Vaccaro. They probably still need corner help, but right now their linebackers are David Hawthorne and Danelle Ellerby, and I want to give them Eric Kendricks.
So, imagine Ken. Yeah, that's a good pick.
I think Kendricks, you know, we've been looking at New Orleans. I feel like in the same way that we've looked at, say, Carolina with wide receivers, and it just seems every year around the draft time we go, well, they could use a linebacker. Eric Kendricks would really help that unit out, I think, a lot. So even though the Pete pick, it's okay. It's been an okay pick. Mm-hmm. Could get a little bit better even. I think Kendricks would have been a home run pick for him.
Yep, great stuff. Miami is up, and they took DeVante Parker. I would give that pick a D.
Yeah, no question.
D for Parker. Really disappointing. D he was like my number Devontae. Three overall player, I think, and my number one wide receiver in this class. I still think he has all the talent in the world. He has not put it together. He's not consistently competed. That is very frustrating as an evaluator.
Who was my wide receiver one?
Was it Cooper?
Yeah, I think it was Cooper, but I'm trying to think of like who
Cooper
the
was actually my wide receiver three, but I had all three of those guys in the top 10. Obviously, Kevin White
in your top 10?
Oh, yeah. Obviously, Kevin White stuff's out of my control. You know,
Kevin White. Yeah. No, Kevin White was my wide receiver one.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yep.
I had Cooper like 9, I think. Kendricks, by the way, was number 8 on my board overall, and he went in the second round. So I feel good about that one. Kevin White stuff out of my control. Cooper, I feel like I was pretty spot on with, except for the fact that Parker has been clearly worse. And not, I mean, I think Parker has way more talent to win in more ways, but has not delivered on that whatsoever. So that's been a disappointing pick to me. Miami kind of had a decent receiving core. I don't think they realized what they had in Rashard Matthews. He's been really good in Tennessee. I think he's one of the more underrated players in the league for a guy that was a former 7th rounder. Kenny Stills can stretch the field. Very good player. Very good dude. Jarvis Landry, you know, we know he's been effective in that role for Miami. So this was a good receiving core. They just kind of wanted to put it over the top, I think. Where they really should have addressed is the offensive line. Brandon Albert's here, but getting near the end. Jawan James at right tackle was in his second season. Billy Turner and Dallas Thomas are their guards, and there is zero depth. There is nobody on the depth chart that I have ever even heard of behind them. So it's a group that really needed upgrades, and it's been a weakness for Miami for a long time. I think Mitch Morse is one of the more underrated players in the entire NFL, and partially because he was hurt a lot last year. The year before that looked like one of the best centers in the league. So whether it's at center or at guard where he played in college, he can be a very, very good player in the NFL. I don't think a lot of people even know. It's kind of like Matt Paradise for Denver in the last draft. I don't think a lot of people know how good he is. But he is an absolute stud. I had a second round grade on him. He went pretty high and turned out to be a real stud in the NFL. And I think the Chiefs really missed him when they struggled to run the football last year toward the middle of the season. So having him back is going to be huge for them. And having him in Miami would be huge because he plays guard. And we obviously know Mike Pouncey's hurt every year, so he could kick to center if you needed him to. They just had to have to get better on the interior offensive line. And so the Morse pick makes a lot of sense to me.
Chargers are up next. they picked Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon was already selected, I gave him to the Vikings. So that's not an option. So this was going to be a little bit different. You got Keenan Allen, Malcolm Floyd, Jacoby Jones is the receivers on offense. Antonio Gates still the starter. There's no – oh, this is the Ladarius Green era that never was. I just saw that on the depth chart.
Pour one out for the former Steeler.
For like two straight years in fantasy football, I wanted like Ladarius Green to be good.
Oh,
like,
so that was two less than most fantasy football drafters.
We were like waiting for Ladarius Green to be like, oh, he's the next Antonio Gates. It's happening.
He was talked up every offseason. Just an absurd amount of chatter around the Darius Green in it.
Didn't happen at all.
Didn't
he go to the Steelers?
Yeah, he did for a year. And he was probably more productive in Pittsburgh than anywhere else, even though he was hurt all the time. And I mean, I knew coming into Pittsburgh, I heard from people that were close to the situation, he's got serious head injuries in his past. Like, this dude should be retired. Yeah. And he got bopped a couple times by Perfect, and that was pretty much curtains. I mean, he had other issues too, health wise, but
yeah, he can't really hide playing tight end.
You can't, no.
It's not really.
And how do you say it? You know how some players just like protect themselves really well in a football field, and other guys just always seem like they're getting hammered?
Yeah.
That was Green. He just always seemed like he was like a little bit of a lack of awareness. And just kind of like always like, you know, relax too early in a play probably.
Mm.
You know what they say? Guys need to protect themselves. They need to come in hard and aggressive to every block, because if not, they could be the ones on the receiving end of some pain. I just feel like that was always.
But enough about the Lightning game last night.
Oh, wow. What a segue. Yeah, to slide that in there. But very true from what I saw in that game. Very, very true.
Yeah. Yeah, they got beat to hell last night. That was not a fun game to watch.
Yeah, that was a little bit brutal. Now
we get to game seven, so oh well. You know, it'll be fun.
I think they'll be all right.
Sure, man. I don't know anymore.
Big confidence.
But yeah, so that's kind of the state of the Chargers offense. They need a running back, and so I'm thinking about giving them a running back here. Right now they're starting running backs, Brandon Oliver. They got the grit father, Danny Woodhead. Philip Rivers obviously still there at quarterback. Look at the defense. They got some of their pieces. A lot of the guys are still there.
What about, man, I feel like we have a couple really good players on the board right now. Like Landon Collins, just like I was when we going to give him to Miami, but he's so similar to Rashad Jones, so it makes it hard. And I just feel like he's a good player. And
Landon Collins is like a top five player for me. Stephon, but I mean,
Diggs?
Like, they have, I don't know, like
Chargers have Weddle still, right?
They have Weddle and they have Adai. Like,
Adai.
Those guys are obviously still there. I've been trying to get Collins off the board, dude. Collins, my dude.
I feel like we haven't talked about it, but I feel like, yeah, he deserves to have gone at this point.
He really does.
I'll get him in here next.
All right, I'm going to give the Chargers Tevin Coleman then.
Four running backs in the top 15 for this redraft, and we had zero whole first round. Last redraft. Yes, but also I really think it speaks to this class. Like,
They're good.
They're good running backs. Yes, there's a good running back class, but also like where else do you go? Like last class when we were redrafting, we're prioritizing offensive line because it's such a good offensive line class. But look at this offensive line. Like Donovan Smith is our top tackle, left tackle. You know, Lyle Collins has only played on the right side. He's been pretty solid as a starter, but again, and he was my number one overall player, number two, one or two player in this entire class coming in. But I don't know. Like, it just, where do you redraft some of these guys in the first round at this point? It just seems like big reaches for most position groups. You know, even guys like Malcolm Brown, Danny Shelton, they're run stuffers. They're good starters, but they're run stuffers. I would rather have a running back that can make an impact on every down. So, you know, I don't know. I think, and yeah, maybe we've gone a little too high with the running backs, but that's
yeah, probably,
class.
But
that's the class, I think. And the team needs, I think the team needs lined up as well.
Yep.
So, okay. So
Kevin Coleman's good AF.
Yeah, he is. I know. He's like your fifth ranked running back in the entire league.
Four spots too low.
What do we give Melvin Gordon? What grade do we give that pick?
A B.
That's probably fair because he's really developed as a receiver. He has yet to average 4 yards per carry in any season, and I'm not a stats guy, but that matters. And, you know, I think that The offensive line isn't great either. So yeah,
he does a lot. They workhorse that dude.
Yeah, he's been a very solid dude. He's been very solid for them. Kevin Johnson ends up being what a deep. I mean, he's played well at times. He just can't stay healthy. It's same situation as Kevin White. Yeah. I love Kevin Johnson coming out. I wouldn't have taken him over Marcus Peters, but he was my corner CB2 over Waynes, and he just hasn't been healthy. And when he's been healthy, then after he was good early on, and then he's been banged up a ton and hurt a ton. He's missed so much time, and now it's affecting his play, and it's just kind of one of those. It's going to end up being incomplete, but we'll probably look back on it as a bust. And obviously, with Peters going two picks later, you know, it looks even worse. But I think for Houston, the secondary has been a need for like a long time for them. You know, not so much corner because they've spent some resources at corner. But I mean, I was just on a Texan show the other day, and I was telling them, I was like, this is the first time I remember the Texans having like good safeties, because now they have Justin Reed and Tyrann Mathieu. Like, that hasn't happened for a while. At this point, they had DJ Swearinger and the infamous Raheem Moore. I mean, there was just nothing there, no depth at safety. I mean, the Joe Flacco'd Raheem Moore. So I'm going to give him Landon Collins. Again, I think that there's other needs on that roster for sure. But to me, Landon Collins, you know, last in the 16 is a huge steal. You know, it's about finding the fit, you know, in this redraft too. That's one of the big things we look at. And so I think that they found the perfect fit now with him in Houston. You know, talk about a player that they could have really used to put that defense over the top the last couple of years when Jonathan Joseph was still playing really good football and Kareem Jackson was there and A.J. Bouye in the nickel. Like, this was a team that needed that type of player at safety, and they just haven't had it. And so I think his presence on this roster would have been absolutely huge.
Yeah, no question. I'm with you. I'm definitely with you there. San Francisco is up next. I would have given them Landon Collins if he would have been there. So good on you for stealing him right before San Francisco.
Suck it. What do you give the Eric Armstead pick?
Oh, yeah. They picked Eric Armstead.
A D.
I don't know. Like a C? What has he done?
Nothing. I'd give it a D.
No, it's not a D.
Fine. Well, have it your way. Your pick. Your pick, your C grade. When he sucks again next year, everybody's going to come for your neck.
Yeah, for sure. For a C. Remember when you said that he was a C?
And not an F.
And not an F. What kind of analyst are you?
Can't wait for that.
This 49ers, this is like is still like right around time. I know we talked about this last week, but like it all came crumbling to the ground for the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because like they still have Ahmad Brooks, they still have Navarro Bowman, they still have Alden Smith. We know all of those guys are about to go away, like real quick.
Yeah.
But we didn't know that at the time. Instead, I'm looking at their wide receivers.
Yes, do it.
Their wide receivers were so damn depleted that they signed both Baltimore guys, Anquan Boldin and Torrey Smith.
It's never good when you sign Baltimore receivers.
Right. Except Anquan Boldin's incredible. Don't you sleep for him.
True.
Stephon Diggs. Going to the San Francisco 49ers.
Great pick. Diggs is wide receiver one from this class, right? You take him over Cooper, right? Yeah. Or you just did?
Oh, yeah. No question.
Crazy. Crazy to me that a receiver class with this much. I mean, four went in the first round, count Nelson Agholor, who has been good. I had four first-round grades, the four that went in the first round, all had first-round grades for me. I love Stephon Diggs. I thought I was, like, Stephon Diggs' number one fan, and I had him, like, early fourth-round grade. So this just shows how much my value of my evaluations was off at this point. I said that about Leonard Williams.
On Diggs, number one fan.
I didn't see anybody who had him like higher than me at this time. You know, again, my reach was a lot less limited, and I didn't know as many people. I didn't know as many analysts. But he didn't get any talk before the draft, I thought. And I loved his game. But because I didn't see anybody else talk about him, I just slapped a fourth-round grade on him. But like his evaluation, if I used my numerical scale now, would have played out to like a super high grade for me. So it was just a really funny example of like how much I feel like I knew what he could do well, and he's been exactly like what I thought he could be in the NFL. I just didn't know how to value that whatsoever on a board, like with grades and a grading system. So that part of my evaluation anyway has developed so much. So then that's really where I needed the most help. Need a lot of help, but so Diggs to the 49ers, great pick. The Chiefs took Marcus Peters. We have to give this pick an A, right? It's bizarre, but it's an A, but he's not with the team.
Oh, it's 100% an A.
So, you know, we just, I guess, chalk it up to unknowns for why he's not with the team. I mean, I don't know what – it's a weird situation because rarely would I give – or maybe never would I give an A to a pick that isn't on the team anymore after, like, three seasons. But he's been absurdly productive, absurdly good. There's really no way to negatively – I don't know. It was just – it was a great pick. And
I mean, things, you fist fought a coach on a plane. Yeah. You know?
if that is ultimately what ended up happening, whatever, you know, I just
imagine
like
hating losing so much that you fist fought a coach.
Yes, but still, I don't know.
No, there's no
I don't point. Know if you're defending no him there point. Or what, but I don't know.
Nah, I want a team full of savages. Okay. I want bi-week UFC fights. Oh, all right.
I'm giving the Chiefs Byron Jones. I think they really needed an impact player in the secondary. Obviously, you know, with Eric Berry's situation, I think it was at this point, they really didn't know what was going to happen in that secondary. So with Ron Parker and Hussein Abdullah both as the starters, it looked like things were a little bit up in the air for them. So I think that, you know, even if Berry came back, you know, he missed all last season with an injury. And so it's just kind of been empty at the safety position, and they really needed a better starter next to him. And Byron Jones can do a lot of different things really well to complement Berry, and so I think that that would be a really good pick for them. Byron Jones is good; he's just not splash player-esque good. But I still, you know, I think this guy's a really, really good football player, and certainly deserves to go in the first round in a redraft. That puts you on the clock to help save the Browns. Cameron Irving pick for sure, an F.
For sure, an F.
Probably one of the worst starters I've ever seen in my life in the NFL. I mean, yikes. I've never seen a guy just get completely dominated, whether it was with power, speed, just getting out technique. I mean, it was.
Where did they start Cam Irving at?
Started him at. That's a good question. I actually don't. I think it was guard, but I actually don't know. He's played every position in the
NFL. I watched Cam Irving play like left and right tackle at FSU, and then I watched him play some guard, and then they moved him to center, and he looked incredible at center for stretches when he was at Florida State. And I thought that Cam Irving was going to stick at center and that he was going to be a really good center in the NFL, and then they moved him all over the place, and he just got dominated. And then finally, like, when they moved him back to center, like, they tried him at center, like, the confidence, you could tell, like, the confidence was shot. Like you said, like, he would just get overwhelmed, all that kinds of stuff. But
There's some truth to what you're saying.
I think that last year when he was with Jameis Winston, I mean, that whole Florida State team really just had so much confidence. But, I mean, he looked like he played with so much. I thought he was going to be a good center, and he just straight up was not a good offensive lineman.
Yeah. Nope.
I think there's kind of no other way around
terrible.
It.
Terrible. He's been absolutely horrendous.
So
who saves him? They need the linebackers at this point, right? I just know because I just had their roster pulled up. But
yeah, so I'm looking. They have Craig Robertson, Carlos Dansby, Paul Kruger.
Blah. Blah.
Barkevious Mingo.
Blah.
Not great.
Your son's John, on the board.
John Greco is their right guard. And Mitchell Schwartz is their right tackle.
Could not be my team. Well, Mitchell Schwartz, I wish, was my right tackle. But
is Mitchell Schwartz pretty good?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. He's the best right tackle in the league, in my opinion.
Their wide receivers are Dwayne Bowe and Taylor Gabriel. It's not a good football
team. I didn't give him a wide receiver, did I? Cooper's still on the board. This is a no-brainer. I was thinking about giving them Diggs, but I didn't. I gave him Leonard Williams. This is a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, you give him.
How much do you dislike Cooper?
I mean, you say it's a no-brainer, but the roster's not good.
Oh my.
So.
Oh my. He's not going to take Amari.
I'm thinking about it. All right, can you give me some theme music and let me think about it? Jeez,
pray about it. Pray about it. Cast your cares upon the Lord. And then do it. Step up. Make a pick.
All right, fine, Amari.
Okay, all right. Good pick. I mean, Cooper's not that bad. He's going to bounce back. He's still a good player. Just not.
The roster's just not good.
Nah.
She's not good.
Yeah, it's not. But again, talent level on the board is.
They don't play 4-3 enough for Fowler to matter.
Yes.
and I wasn't going to give him.
This is an easy pick for the Eagles. They actually took Nelson Agholor. I would give that a B at this point, right? He was really good last year.
I guess.
B minus? I don't know. Maybe C. Maybe I'm being nice. I think he's on the way. I think he's trending up. Let's put it that way. If you look at who they have on the board, you know, this was an offensive line that was pretty good. Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, and Jason Peters. Evan Mathis was a left guard. He was really good. I think this was right around the time his career took the nosedive. But Alan Barber at the other guard spot, again, he was solid. And so they, you could argue that they needed a guard here, but Anders Peet's the best one left on the board. And I like him, but I would still go another direction here. I think if you look at the, they ended up taking Jordan Hicks in this draft. Remember, he's been very good. He's also been injured all the time. I think Kiko Alonso, Michael Kendricks were on the board, were on the team at this point. D'Amico Ryans was the depth. A lot of names you've probably heard of, but not a lot of good football players at this point in their career. I think Kiko Alonso, probably one of the most overrated players in the entire league. I think that at this point in the draft, when Quan Alexander's sitting on the board, it's just kind of, you know, you'd have to really.
Wow, how dare you?
I know. I took him right before your last pick in this one, but. What are you going to do? I mean, is it perfect? It's exactly what they need. Things set up perfectly for me. I'm hurt. And now you've got to save the Bengals without Quan on the board.
Very happy that Quan Alexander won a Super Bowl then. Very happy. They went Cedric Ogbui.
F.
Not a good pick.
He's atrocious. Here's a little tip for you kids at home. Don't draft offensive linemen who are afraid to be physical in college. Because it rarely gets better in the NFL against more physical, more aggressive, bigger, meaner, nastier players. Little pro tip for you guys. Carry on, Trev.
You know, you got to make people pay for that kind of inside information, John.
Yeah, you do.
You got to put that behind a paywall. Well, you know, click here to hear more.
That's true, but
I'm going to go Lyle Collins.
Yeah, good pick.
I'm going to give him an actual offensive line.
Good pick. I think going Lyle Collins over Donovan Smith is smart, too. I think Collins is going to end up being the better player.
Well, because Collins plays right, and they got Whitworth still. So
That also is a good point. There we go. We're through 21 picks, I should say. Oh, so we got one more, right?
No, that was 11.
Oh, that was it? Okay, all right.
I think.
We'll come back then. We'll come back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's who we come back with. They took Bud Dupree. Y'all know how I feel about that pick, so I'm going to have the chance to save them from themselves. I'm going to try and do that when we come back tomorrow.
I pick Bud Dupree again.
Oh, dear God, no. We'll redraft the rest of the first round when we come back tomorrow. Thursday, we're going to look at the draft classes as a whole. Who are the best? Who are the worst classes from the 2015 draft? Talk about that. Friday, we'll give you Fan Friday. Next week, 2016, we do it all over again. Excited about it. Till then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.